We're going to have a quiz time to start with. We're going to see how aware you are, not how smart you are. This is just awareness, okay? So I'm going to show you first of all, becoming the fifth columnist for his kingdom is the title of the message. And some of you have never heard of that, and I hadn't really till I started studying. We will talk about that and talk about what God has called us to. But I have some logos here, and I'd like for you to look at this. How many of you could raise your hand and you know what logo that is? Okay. Does anybody want to tell me what logo that is? Amazon. Okay. What are they known for? What do they do?
Free shipping.
A clearinghouse of everything in the world, just about, where you can get it with free shipping. And in sometimes 24 hours. I have done that for a birthday one time. So let's look at the next one. Adidas, right, Adidas. And what is Adidas known for?
Shoes.
I think of tennis shoes only, but that's Adidas. All right, what's the next one?
Chevrolet.
And what does Chevrolet do? Make
cars.
They make cars. Okay. They're not known for milkshakes. Not known for girls' clothing. Cars. Okay. Let's look at the next one. LG. And what is LG?
Just
a lot of TVs and I don't even know. Do they do laptops? I don't know that they do. I don't think. Do they? Okay. Okay. So LG is. All right. Let's see the next one. Next. Anybody here not know that one? Okay, and if you haven't been to McDonald's, if you want to, they have what there?
Burgers,
French fries, yeah. And they've upgraded a little bit with the coffee stuff that they've added, coffee shop things. All right, next.
Kentucky Fried Chicken.
All right, that was quick. All right, what are they known for?
Chicken.
I had one time, this is the truth, I had one time I drove to a Kentucky Fried Chicken, and I pulled in there and they said, we don't have any chicken today. I'm sitting there going, what's left? Seriously, they had run out of chicken. Okay, next.
Apple.
And they're known for what? Fruit?
Computers,
laptops, iPhones. This is the envy of all those in the electronic business. Okay. All right, next. We have three here. See if you can guess all three of them. Okay. Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. Okay. I don't use Twitter. I get a tweet every once in a while. Don't even know how to pull it down. So, anyway, that's the last one. But I do want to ask you a question before we get to the next one, which is really important to us. If you were to devise or come up with a symbol that represented us as Christians, yes, the church, but us as Christians, what symbol would you have? Okay. Most of us would have the cross. Okay. Now, why would we have the cross? Because without the cross, we aren't here. Without the cross, Jesus would not have died. If Jesus had not died, he would not have paid the price for our sins. We would not be able to stand before the Father. Jesus died so that we could become his followers. But if I were to ask you, so if there's somebody out there in the world and they're looking at Christians, what do we produce? What would the world say we produce? Not what we say. If you're struggling with that, then thus is the need for my message this morning. Not so much the need for it, but the reminder of it. I'd like for you to turn, and the scripture will be up here, Matthew 28, 18 through 20 in your scriptures. Matthew 28, verse 18 through 20. Jesus and his disciples had one last time together. And Jesus said, I want you to be known for what I died for. I died that you might become disciples. That's why I'm dying. That's why I died. Now, I want you to know this is what I want you to be known for. And Jesus came to them and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Go ye therefore and make disciples. I believe that the one thing that we should be known for is not making cars, not making milkshakes, not making committee meetings, not even making worship services. We're here to make disciples. That's what we should be known for. Now, yes, we should have worship services. Yes, we should have Bible studies. Yes, we should meet together and decide things, but that's not what we should be known for. We should be known as making disciples. Jesus said, I have all the authority. Now I tell you to go. I have the authority to send you out. I have the authority to equip you to do what I'm commanding you to do. I have the authority to protect you as you go out. I have the authority to open the hearts of men to receive your discipleship messages. I have the authority to conquer skeptics and all evil. I have the authority to bless your words, to transform the most vile and the most corrupt individual. Now, go. A better word here is for go in the Greek is as you are going. How many of you know how long Jesus took to produce 12 disciples? How long was it? One and a half years. And by the way, if you didn't know that, I had to sort of look it up too. I wasn't quite sure how long exactly Jesus had. Jesus worked with his disciples for 1.5 years. And in 1.5 years, he produced 12 men, 12 disciples that revolutionized the entire world, that split time from BC to AD, that caused people by the thousands to come and kneel at the feet of Jesus, that caused tens of millions down through the history of mankind to wear crosses, to adorn themselves with crosses, to say, I am a Christian. So how did he do it in a year and a half? Because that was his main job, was to make disciples. See, if we focus on the things that are the main things, we're going to do real well. I don't know if any of you have anything like that you're thinking about manufacturing. When the man who came up with fidgets manufactured fidgets, they had all kinds of ideas of what they thought he could also manufacture. He said, no, we're only going to manufacture fidgets. He said, but you can't sell fidgets. Fidgets aren't just going to sell. He said, no, here's the point. We're not making a lot of things. We're making one thing, fidgets. That's what we do. We make fidgets. And they sold. I think whenever Chevrolet decided that they were just going to make cars, of course, trucks and cars, they did a lot better because they realized we're not into clothes. We're not into soup. We're into cars. So Chevrolet made cars. Christ came to us and he said, all authority is given unto me, and because it is, I'm going to tell you what is the main thing. Here's the main thing. Make disciples. Here it is. Make disciples. And I want you to know that a lot of times we think, well, we need a bunch of people to make disciples. No. What did God mostly use down through history? To cause a movement, to get things done. He usually used one person. How about Abraham? Abraham was the leader of the children of Israel. He, out of his wife and he, in a very elderly age, came all the great peoples of the children of Israel. And then we look at who's next. Noah. One man saved all of mankind, actually. Had it not been for Noah. Then we think about Moses, who is one person who set 2 million people free. David and his slingshot. Little David caused the Babylonians to run in fear. Jesus was one man. Of course, he was the Son of God. But out of him came all the salvation we know. We could go down through church history and we could see that God used one or two people who he saved, used to save the nations because they were disciples. They weren't just people. They were disciples. What was Paul known for? His discipleship. And he revolutionized and really supercharged the church. Timothy was a discipler. Polycarp, and everybody's heard of him. But in the 3rd century, Polycarp was the great leader. Clement, Justin Martyr, Theophilus, Origen, Ignatius, Irenaeus, St. Augustine, all of the early church fathers were disciplers. What were they known for? They knew how to disciple. They knew how to lead people. They knew how to grow them up in the kingdom of God. Then in the Middle Ages, Martin Luther, John Wesley, Jonathan Edwards, William Tyndale, George Whitefield, all disciplers. In the 19th, 20th, and 21st centuries, and actually George Whitefield over was part of that, and Jonathan Edwards, D.L. Moody, Billy Sunday, Sister Teresa, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, Peter Marshall, Billy Graham, Louis Palau, Oliver B. Green, Martin Luther King Jr., Beth Moore, Tony Evans, Anne Graham Lotz, Franklin Graham, T.D. Jakes up to the present. What is amazing about all of these leaders that have made them heroes of the church? They were disciplers. They knew the call. They knew the main thing was the main thing, and that was to be disciples. God's church has not been really about mass movements, except in rare occasions, like the two great awakenings that we talk about sometimes, a few revivals in churches. But hear me, the movements of God have always been when one or two people realized God has called us to disciple. Now, I want to ask you this morning, how many of you are here because someone spoke to you, led you, taught you, encouraged you as a Christian? I think it's everybody. I don't think, it might be your parents. It might be your grandparents. It might be people in church. It might be a Sunday school teacher. It might have been a youth worker. It might have been a next door neighbor. But there was somebody who encouraged you in the faith. That's a discipler. That's someone who understands what it means to disciple. It is who we are, and it is what we do, disciple. Jesus said, I am with you. At the end, he said, go and do all of these things, and I will be with you. Now, I want to let you know that it's not that we go out and we add God to what we're doing. Because I believe God takes us to places to disciple. He puts you in the job you have. He puts you in the neighborhood you're in. He brought you to the people that you are associated with, that he might use you to disciple for the kingdom of God. So we join Jesus in what he's already doing, discipling, because this is what Jesus is doing. This is what we begin to do. Because Jesus is preparing the way for us to disciple, that's what we should be doing. Now, some of us want to audit the church or audit discipleship. Do you know what audit is? Those who are into college, or especially those who teach college, could tell you what an audit is. That's somebody who doesn't want to really take the course or be a student in the course. They just want to sit there and listen to what's going on. They want to go in and hear about it. They want to enjoy watching people sweat for the next test, and they don't have to take it. They want to just come in and enjoy all the fruits of the class without having any responsibilities to it. They don't have to take tests, they don't have to take quizzes, and quite frankly, they can go home and sleep and not worry about it. They don't really have to read. They don't really have to work. They don't really have to do the stuff. T.D. Jakes said it this way: there's too many auditors in the church and not enough disciplers. Audit meaning you're not willing to take the test and do the stuff. You just like being around the people who do. To be a Christian means I do the stuff. A lot of people wear a cross around their neck. As a matter of fact, I've seen more and more in Hollywood actors wearing crosses around their necks and doing some vile and vulgar stuff. And it bothers me. It bothers me because I'm sitting there going, you've got the cross of Christ who died for you around your neck, and you're doing these vulgar and saying these vulgar things. It's offensive, not just to me, but I think it is to the Lord. So what is it that makes us Christians? And it is that we are discipling. I want to talk about what this message title is. Finally, we'll get to that. The fifth columnist. You see, the Romans, whenever, and also the Greeks, whenever they would go into battle, they always put their forces, their soldiers, in four columns, and they marched. Now, I don't understand the strategery, excuse that word, of it, but apparently if you put the soldiers in four columns, they were stronger and the less likely to be defeated. And whenever they came against the city, they came in four columns. Now, the city knew they were coming, and they were coming that way, so they would prepare. And that many times the city was able to protect itself with all of its protective methods, its walls, its protections that it had prepared. It was ready to meet the armies with four columns. So they came up with the fifth column. Now, a fifth column was a group of people that they sent into a city that they wanted to destroy a year or two earlier. And those people would come in as carpenters and mill workers and doctors and lawyers. They would come into the community and they would settle in. And they would become a part of the society, and they would accept and be accepted by the people. And all the while, they were to be turning hearts, as many people, giving them fear and causing them to turn against their own leaders. Eventually, when the battles came, the fifth column was to create such havoc inside. And the fact that they had done so much work to bring dissension inside the walls, that the walls fell from the inside out and the four columns of soldiers came in and just took over the city. That fifth column basically is what we are to be as Christians. We're to go into those places, as it says in the lyrics to Man of La Mancha, we're to go into hell for a heavenly cause. We as disciples are to be the fifth element that's supposed to go in and settle in our communities where we work, in our those places God has put us, to be accepted, to be reverenced as a part of the community, but then to turn that community around for the kingdom of God, to begin to influence things around us, to begin to disciple people, and slowly but surely the kingdom of Satan falls from the inside out, not from the outside in. Because the Christians have done their job, which is discipling. On September 11th, 2001, in New York City, in Washington, D.C., our nation faced an enemy for the first time on its own soil who had infiltrated our country with radical agenda. They sought to change the world with their actions. Even though their actions were evil and their theology distorted, they were successful to a large extent. They were willing to die for their cause. They came in, and from the inside out, they became destroyers. We are called to build up the kingdom, but to destroy the darkness. And as such, disciples are those, and what he's called us to is to go into those places where we're not allowed to go in and to disciple, to build up God's kingdom in places where God's kingdom is not supposed to be. That's our call. It's always been our call. It says, go ye therefore into all nations. Now, let's put it in context of Durham. Go ye therefore into all the jobs in the community and make disciples. Go ye therefore into every bastion of evil and make disciples. Go ye therefore into every community and every hamlet around and make disciples. Don't sit around the church all the time. You need to be together as in a church to build each other up, to encourage each other. But then you need to go and become a fifth element, a fifth column, if you will. All of us need to understand that we are called to be disciples. So how do we know if this, by the way, how do we know if Chevy is doing his job? Is it how many times they met last week? Chevrolet. Is it how many times they had plans, they made plans? Is it how many times they decided to have parties for people having birthdays at Chevrolet? How do you know if Chevrolet is doing its job? Because selling cars. Not just making them. Selling. By the way, they could make a bunch of Chevrolets, but if they're not selling them, are they doing their job? No, they got to sell them. As a matter of fact, right now, in some car companies, I think it was Kia the other day, said that they've got overstocked and they need to get rid of them. Right now, they got great sales. So if you need a car right now, go to Kia. Because the point is, we've made a bunch of cars, but that's not what our job is. Our job is to sell cars. So when it says, go ye therefore and make disciples, what does that mean? That doesn't just mean to put the work out there. This is what it means. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever commanded. And lo, I will be with you always, even to the ends of the earth. Baptizing them. First, you're to preach to all nations. You're to baptize them. What does baptizing mean? What did it represent? It represented that they were coming to Christ. That we weren't just out there preaching. We were actually leading people to Christ. How will we know if this church is discipling and is a disciple church? How will we know it? Because we're making disciples. And how will we know that? First of all, how many people are baptized? Second thing is how many people we're teaching. So the question today is, if someone who does not know what Christianity or the church is were to come and ask, look at you and say, you were to say, I'm a Christian, would they say, then Christianity is discipleship? Or would they say Christianity is auditing? Or would they say Christianity is going to church on Sundays? Or would they say Christianity is going to fellowships and socials? Or would they say Christianity is reading your Bible once a week? According to what Jesus said, go ye therefore and make disciples, and then I'll be with you. Now, it doesn't mean God is not with us when we're not making disciples, but it means when we're making disciples, it's a guarantee He's with us. He does not leave us when we're making disciples. And I've got news for you. I need Jesus about all the time. I don't know about you. I got all kinds of things coming up. I'm teaching middle schoolers. I need Jesus. And He guarantees me if I'm discipling, I am right there with you. I am on your footsteps with you. I am lifting you. I'm carrying you. But if you're not discipling, you can't guarantee God can carry you. See, because God sends us to the jobs we have and the places we live to disciple. I know of families, by the way, I'll say a bit about one of the things they do at some churches in this area, because I've already talked with the pastors there. Whenever you come into the church, they ask you where you live. If you join the church, they ask you where you live. And they ask you if you would be willing to move. Why? So that we don't have anybody over at this at Hollow Ridge. We don't have anybody there. So we're going to ask you if your family would see. We will help you find the house in our apartment in Hollow Ridge so that you can go there so that you are the witness. You're the light there. You're reaching people. We've got disciples in there. And your purpose is to go into Hollow Ridge and disciple as many people as you can and to try to get them into the kingdom of God. That's your call. What are you doing in Hollow Ridge? And that's not a handful of churches. It's becoming the trend. The churches that are growing, that's the way they're doing it. Now, I'm not going to ask you at the end of the service to move. I promise you. I believe you're where you are because God has put you there so that you can be a discipler in the neighborhood that you're in. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I will be with you always. I want you to know that it's not always evident that you're discipling. I mean, it's not like they all come and go, ooh, I want to be a Christian like you. Ooh, ooh, ooh. As a matter of fact, many times they look at you and go, I don't get it. I struggle with where you are. Or they look at you and go, I don't understand why you believe this stuff. But you're discipling. The reason I say that is because twice, and I think God did that for my encouragement as a pastor, but I've had twice where one time where a young lady sent me an email, and I've shared this before, but I sent me an email and said, you do not remember me probably, but I was at your church when you were a youth minister back when you were in your 20s up in Washington, D.C. I was at your church, and I was a very painful young lady. I did not want to hear you, nor did I want to be there, but Mama made me come. And I came anyway. Now, I thank God for the parents who say, you don't have a decision on this. You're going. Why do we give kids decisions on where they want to go today? I don't get it. You're going. And when she said, I went, I heard you teaching, and I heard you preaching. She said, I tried to act like it was not having an effect on me, but it was having an effect on me. I am now the wife of a pastor in Hawaii, and we've got a church here. And we're very excited about what God is leading us to do. And whenever I got that, it was like, you know, I am discipling, and I don't even know it sometimes. Some of you are discipling and you don't even know it. But God has called us to disciple. I think intentional discipleship is the best. My last is this. Yesterday on Facebook, Howie Lederfine, one of my youth in my youth group, a young man that I led to the Lord that was baptized in our church, is a youth minister. That was 25 years ago. He's a youth minister down in, and he came here and stayed in our church. They were having their laying on of hands service at their church for their seniors that were going off to college. And I remember that we did that in the church where I was at up in Virginia where he was. And now that was in Columbia, I believe. And now he was doing the same thing. And it's like, yes, it stuck. As a matter of fact, he's doing a far better job than I did. And do you know what I think discipleship is? When you disciple people and they do a lot better job than you did. Now, that's real discipling. You lead people into the kingdom. You lead them into the process of discipling for the kingdom of God, and they become better at it than you did. This is what we're called to do. This is who we are. We are not here to sell cars. We are not here to sell milkshakes. We are not here just to meet, to audit the system. We are here to make disciples? Will they say 10 years from now, that was a discipling church? I pray that they will, because we were honorable to God and we listened to him and did what he said, not what the world was telling us. Let us pray. Father, because you were the one that died for us, we listen to you. We follow you. You were the one that made salvation available to us. Therefore, we follow you. And your greatest command, your last command, we want to be honorable to you in that, and teach us how. Teach us how to disciple. I pray that we would disciple our children. We would disciple our grandchildren. We would disciple our students. We would disciple our friends. We would disciple our neighbors. We would disciple those that we work with, that the kingdom of God might be expanded. And we give you the honor and the glory and the praise for the opportunity of being disciples in your kingdom. And it's in the name of Jesus we pray, in Christ's name. Amen.